The Meaning of Marxism by Paul D'Amato. Section. Roots of Women's Inequality. All societies require both production and reproduction, the propagation of the species. We've already seen how the state of the productive forces shapes the production relations in a given society. While the essential biological aspects of reproduction, until recently, have not changed, the same cannot be said of the institution that encompasses reproduction, the family. Much in the same way that modern economists project capitalist relations into the past, so too do defenders of the nuclear family project an unchanging unit, consisting of a man, a woman, a few children, and a dog, into the past. This nuclear family, they argue, constitutes the natural order of things. The truth is that the family is an institution, not a biological fact, and it has changed historically from one mode of production to the next. As a result, the status of women in society has also changed considerably. The popular idea is that relations between the sexes are shaped by the unchanging nature of men as providers and women as nurturers. Thus it has been, and thus it always will be. Yet this view of a woman's role is not supported by the historical evidence. In many pre-class societies, women engaged in productive work beyond child-rearing and house-cleaning. In these societies, there was a strong sexual division of labor. Men tended to do the jobs that took them further afield, hunting, for example. Women, as child-bearers, tended to do the work that kept them near to the home base, gathering roots and berries, preparing hides and clothes, and cooking. Later, in the first horticultural societies, women moved naturally from gathering to planting and harvesting. In both cases, with the exception of very cold climates where hunting was the primary source of food, women's role as gatherers and agriculturalists was more important for the survival of the group than men's hunting. Both because women's work was central to the survival of the band, and also because relations of economic coercion did not yet exist, doing different things from men did not mean being oppressed by men. On the contrary, in many reported cases, women exercised ultimate decision-making power over questions such as the choice of war chief, and whether or not to go to war, or when to break off a marriage. These facts blow out of the water the most childish and least supported argument as to why women are oppressed, because men are stronger. According to this argument, children should also always have been oppressed by adults. Yet, as we've seen in a previous chapter, children were raised in relative freedom in these societies. What this questionable theory boils down to is that men oppress women because they can, which isn't an explanation of anything. In many pre-class societies, sexual relations were treated more freely, often without the jealousy, possessiveness, and objectification that is associated with sexual relations today. In most matrilocal or matrilineal societies, where descent is reckoned through the female rather than the male, women and men were free to engage in unrestricted sexual activity before marriage without any fear of stigma. Women were able to combine both reproductive and productive work, because such societies did not make much of a distinction between them. The ethnographer Bronislaw Malinowski studied the Tobriand Islanders of Northwest Melanesia in 1929. In this matrilineal tribal society, quote, women have a considerable share in tribal life, even to taking the leading part in economic, ceremonial, and magical activities. A fact which deeply influences all the customs of erotic life, as well as the institution of marriage. End quote. Malinowski noticed that children were raised without adult coercion, something that appeared to the Tobrianders to be unnatural and immoral. Children were allowed to explore their sexual curiosity without fear or shame. There is no interference by older persons, he wrote, in the sexual life of children. With the rise of class society, women's status changed. As gatherers, women played a key role in the discovery and development of plant domestication. And in many horticultural societies, such as the Iroquois in upstate New York, women's status remained high. Men hunted and did the heavy work of clearing fields for planting, but women planted and tended the crops. The invention of the heavy plow and the domestication of animals changed that. Men became the primary agricultural laborers, and because of their traditional role as hunters, were also in charge of animal domestication. Men, in other words, dominated in the sphere of production, and became, therefore, the owners of society's surplus wealth. Or at least some men, for the rise of class society and the state, as Engels pointed out, did not only represent, quote, the world historic defeat of the female sex, it also represented the economic subordination of the majority of men to a tiny minority of wealthy men. End quote. With the development of agriculture and animal domestication came private property. The family, as a patriarchal set in which descent was reckoned through the male head of the household, developed as a way to ensure that a father passed his wealth to his male offspring. In the new monogamous family, men expected strict chastity from women, but not from themselves. Engels wrote that, quote, the man seized the reins in the house, too. The woman was degraded, enthralled, became the slave of the man's lust, a mere instrument for breeding children. End quote. The sexual division of labor thus only took on an oppressive dimension with the rise of class society, when a handful of men became the controllers of the agricultural surplus. Women, and most men unlucky enough to be slaves or serfs, became subordinated to a new ruling class. In the patriarchal household, women were expected to rear children, as well as engage in various kinds of labor for the family's survival, sewing, milking, etc. But capitalist development creates technological changes that render the sexual division of labor more or less obsolete, and creates, as we shall see, the conditions for women's full emancipation. End of section.